हरे हरे श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु दया करो मोरे दया करो दया करो मोरे
Yeah. हरिनाम संकीर्तन के श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण श्री श्री गौर मिटाय के श्री रघुपाद के अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद के ओम अज्ञान तिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोवेष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवम् श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमः ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिन्यते नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनाम्ने गौरद्विषे नमः हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी श्री राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद अनार्पितचर्यं चिरात् करुणयादवतीर्ण कलौ समर्पयितुं मुन्नतोज्ज्वलरसां स्वभक्तिं श्रियं हरिपुरटसुन्दरद्युतिकदम्बसन्दीपितः सदा हृदयकन्दरे स्फुरतो वः शचिनन्दनः
Tomorrow we are celebrating the festival of Gaur Purnima. You will hear about the reasons for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance in this world tomorrow, external and internal reasons. Hare Krishna. Is it loud enough? Loud enough? Back side, can you hear? Can you hear? All right? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The beautiful verse which I recited just now, written by Rupa Goswami Pad. The meaning of this verse is anarpita charin chirat. Chirat means for a very long period of time. Anarpita means it was not offered by the acharyas down the line for a very long period of time. Which one? What is not offered? Unnata Ujjvala Rasam, he says. Unnata Ujjvala Rasam is the Madhurya Bhakti of Radha and Krishna. That is not offered by many acharyas due to fear of misuse by the public. Actually, one of the most common ways in which God is worshipped in this world is in the mood of a father. God being the father and living entities being his children, and everyone should depend on the Supreme Lord for one's protection and maintenance. This is a well-known philosophy in all religions. But the Unnata Ujjvala Rasa, the Madhurya Bhakti, of treating God as a paramour, first of all, treating God as a lover and then a paramour lover, is even more advanced. So, even Jiva Goswami Pad, even after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught this, he didn't want to teach it to the scholarly pandits whose approach to scriptures was very superficial. So even Jiva Goswami was propagating more on Sakiras. So, but Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give this. He says, Unnata Ujjvala Rasam, why he came to give? Karunayad Avatirna Kalav, out of sympathy for the suffering souls. Karunayad Avatirna Kalav, he incarnated in this age. Hari Purata Sundara Dhiti Kadamba Sandipitaha. He says that he comes in the complexion of gold, molten gold. Sadahrdeya Kandare Swarato Vasya Chinandana. He says, that Lord Chaitanya, may he reside in my heart. And always, and eradicate all the ignorance from my heart, which is like darkness. Like an elephant sometimes runs away from a lion entering into a cave. And the lion goes into the cave and captures the elephant and by slapping him on his back and kills the elephant and brings it out. Out of the cave. Similarly, may Lord Chaitanya destroy the ignorance of my heart and take it out. From my heart, and then let my heart become completely nirmal, pure. Like that he is praying. So this explanation I heard from His Holiness Bhakti Purushottama Maharaj in Yogapit once he was speaking. Such a beautiful explanation. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not only a personality who removes the kalmash from our heart, even the finest of the impurities he removes from the heart. Not only making one eligible for liberation, but making one enter into the most sublime and the most purest and the highest platform of approaching Krishna, the Unnata Ujjvala Rasa. Like that he says in there. So, being the day before Gaupurnima, I was planning to speak one or two just favorite pastimes. And my whole purpose was to speak one section of Chaitanya Bhagavat, which is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's visit to Neelachal. Very beautiful section. It is full of lessons for the devotees. And as Mahaprabhu goes, every movement he makes and everything he speaks and does is full of lessons. But depending on how time permits, we will discuss that. But prior to that, in Mahaprabhu's in the Adilila part, there is a description about how when there are many pastimes of Mahaprabhu as a child, but before one can read those childhood pastimes, one should hear about the tattva of Mahaprabhu himself. how the absolute truth Sri Krishna, he is complete in everything except one thing. That is his knowledge of Srimati Radharani. He is not complete. In fact, Krishna feels himself that what kind of personality is this Radharani, that she, even in my presence, she feels separation from me. One time Radha and Krishna was sitting in a park bench and talking. Suddenly a bumblebee hovered on the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani, considering it to be a lotus. And she became a bit frightened, and Krishna called Madhumangal to drive it away. And Madhumangal drove it away and told Krishna, "Krishna, don't worry, Madhu has gone away," he said. So one name of Krishna was Madhu. Hearing this, Srimati Radharani thought that Krishna has gone away. And her eyes were brimming with tears, torrents of tears, and she could not even see Krishna sitting in the front. And she was weeping. And Krishna loudly again and again proclaimed to Sri Radha that, "I am here very much in front of you. I have not gone away." Still, nothing could be of any avail. She went on crying, and all the 8 ecstatic symptoms manifested in her body. Her body was trembling, heart was palpitating, and her eyes were brimming with tears, and nobody could control her. That was the time when Krishna thought, what kind of personality is this? Even in my absence, she is feeling so much separation from me. Actually, if you love someone very dearly to your heart, in their presence there will always be a fear of separation from them. You will see sometimes the children study in a hostel or somewhere far away, and they come home. The parents are counting the days. When will the son or daughter, they go back? And as the day approaches closer, they feel more and more pangs that I'm going to be separated. So when you meet a lover or a beloved, there is a joy of being in the company, but there is also a fear of losing that good fortune that one has. So that was the mood of Radharani actually. And seeing that, Krishna was amazed that how, he said, what kind of mood that she is experiencing. He also developed a taste to know that. In fact, once he asked Radharani herself directly, "What do you feel when you see me? When you see me and my activities, what do you feel in your heart?" She said, "That you cannot understand. That is beyond, that's not in your dictionary. Because you are a supreme enjoyer. And I am your servant. What I can experience, only servants can experience. Those who are in the mood of servant. This is impossible for you." Just like the beauty of a lotus and the sweetness of the honey in a lotus is known only to a bumblebee and not to the lotus itself. Similarly, Krishna's beauty and sweetness is known only to his devotees. And not, it is not understandable to Krishna himself how wonderful he is. So Krishna felt sorry. "Oh, what is the use of being a lord if I cannot know about myself?" So then he told Srimati Radharani, "Yes, it is true. Although I come in various incarnations, but in all the incarnations I act like a supreme enjoyer. And I cannot know myself. But there is one incarnation you will come to know, in which I can know myself." She asked, "What is it?" He said, "At appropriate time I will reveal it to you," he said. So at the time, Srimati Radharani saw in Krishna's chest there was a necklace, there was a pendant with a big diamond. So the diamond appeared like a mirror. And when Krishna moved, that pendant glowed on Srimati Radharani's face with its bright, brilliant light. And in that, Srimati Radharani got a vision, suddenly, of there she saw with foaming whitish waves, the river was flowing, and by the bank of the river there was a golden sandy bank on which she heard very loud sounds of kirtana, exactly like the spiritual world. And she saw a very tall and beautiful personality whose body was like a lion, who had curly locks of hair and his face like a full moon, with his eyes like bumblebees, with both arms raised, And his tears streaming from his eyes. He was dancing very beautifully, wearing nupur on his legs. Very beautifully he was moving his body to and fro and dancing. Not, he was not alone, surrounded by many of his associates. On either side and behind, thousands of people following him. They were all absorbed in ecstatic chanting and dancing. And they were walking along the bank of this river. And suddenly Srimad Radharani saw, amongst all these people, this personality in the center, he is very attractive to my heart. And he is a sannyasi. Actually, she saw him as a Nimai Pandit, who is the master of Navadvip. Later on, she also gets to see him as a sannyasi also. But she was wondering, who is this personality? So then she asked Krishna, my dear Lord, besides you, I am not attracted to anybody else. But who is this person who is deeply touching my heart? His emotions, his feelings, his movements, his behavior is deeply touching my heart. Who is this? And she said, when I see him crying tears, his hair standing on end, his body trembling, when I see this, I think that this personality is me only, she said. At the same time, when I see his beauty of his face and his curly locks of hair and his body external outlook, it appears to me that it's probably you. Is it you or is it me? I'm confused. Krishna said, that's why I told you I know this. I can know you. You remember I told you some time ago that I can know you? This is the form in which I can know the mood of a devotee. Exactly. This is me and this is you, both of us. He said, really? So she said, then he said, very soon I am going to appear in this form of Lord Chaitanya. Then she said, I will cover your body with the hue of my color, Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi. So then after that the Lord Chaitanya appears in Navadvip in this form. So when he appeared in Navadvip, he performs many pastimes. I will just say one or two in each one. In his childhood and boyhood, and I would like to speak on more on Mahaprabhu's trip to Jagannath Puri later. So one of the pastimes that's very favorite to my heart is this, in the Chaitanya's Mahaprabhu's childhood leela. One is this one. One day, Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata, they both had a conversation about how Vishwarup took sannyas and went away. It was a very great pain to their hearts because they loved Vishwarup very dearly. So they saw that Vishwarup was always going to the house of Advaita Acharya and sitting and discussing Bhagavad, hours and hours. And gradually he developed a deep sense of detachment from the material world and great attachment to the lotus feet of Krishna. And then now a time came and he left the home and he went away. So this was causing them great pain. So Jagannath Mishra decided that my son Nimai, he will not go to school. Let him remain at home. So he told his wife Sachi that I have decided not to educate him. Because if he becomes educated, he will become too wise. And he may give up everything and he may also follow the same path of his elder brother. So let him just remain at home and at least he will be our property. He will not leave us. So then Sachi Mata was worried. She asked, who will give him a girl? And how will he be able to earn his livelihood? She was asking. And he said, Jagannath Mishra said, you prove to be really a simple daughter of a Brahmana. You are a simple Brahmani. You don't understand. And he said, look at me. I am such a great learned Pandita. But in our home, sometimes there is scarcity of food and clothing at our home. On the other hand, you will find there are so many illiterates, not learned people. And in their houses, you know, hundreds and thousands of well-learned Brahmanas come and flock for charity. So, who possesses wealth and who does not have wealth is decided by Krishna. That is ultimately destined by Krishna only. Not that by becoming educated, one is going to be very wealthy. It's not necessary that learning and wealth go hand in hand. And besides that, marriage is ultimately arranged by Krishna. You know, who will be given to whom? Huh? Is ultimately decided by him. If your son deserves to get a suitable girl, that opportunity will automatically come. So it's not that by going to school and learning, one is going to. You see the faith of Jagannath Mishra. I'll just read a small section. She is saying, you are truly an innocent daughter of a Brahmana without any practical knowledge. Krishna is everyone's protector and maintainer. Who has misinformed you that mere learning will help in maintaining oneself? Lord Krishna is the supreme controller. It is he who arranges a bride or a groom for both literate and illiterate. He's saying. And he's saying, I possess sufficient learning, yet there is not even enough food in our house. Yet there are people who cannot even pronounce the alphabet properly. Still thousands of learned scholars crowd their doorstep. And then he is saying, when one has never once worshipped the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, how can he possibly meet death in a cheerful mood, even though he may be surrounded by much wealth and other opulences? He gives a lot of wonderful philosophy here to his wife. And then he is saying, a person may live amidst good opportunity for sense enjoyment and opulence, but Lord Krishna may allot him an incurable disease that will cause him much misery. Such gratification will then give him no happiness. This must be understood. And then he is concluding here. One's future is determined entirely by Lord Krishna's desire. Do not worry about your son's maintenance. I can assure you that Lord Krishna will look after him. Why should you be in anxiety? You are a good mother and a chaste wife. They are saying. And then Jagannath Mishra told, Ma, you are relieved from all your studies and now you can do whatever you want and just remain satisfied at home. I told him. And at the time when father had gone out and Nimai, he crawled and climbed a heap of pots which were kept there. See, in those days they would cook in pots every day and then the next day they would use a new pot for every day. They will never cook for the second time. Only once they would cook, it becomes like jute after that. They would pile it up in the backyard of the house. These pots would have the black suit on their backside because of being put in the fire. And Sachi Mata had stacked a lot of those pots one over other. And Nimai, no one observed it. Nimai gradually climbed and went to the top of that heap of pots and he was sitting there. And his beautiful girls in their form, which was like a very beautiful golden complexion, was here and there it was marked with those black spots. So when Sachi heard the news from others, she came to the backyard of her house to see Nimai on the top, and she was shocked and surprised. Hey Nimai, what are you doing here in the top? Come down, your body has become unclean. She taunted him, scolded him. But Nimai was actually angry that he is not being sent to school. She said, I am not being sent to school, so I have to be naughty, naturally. So I will not come down. So this became a great scene for many people who visited there. All the other neighborhood ladies came and said, our children, we pushed them to go to school, but they want to stay back at home. And he doesn't want to go to school and you are keeping him back. Who has given such a wrong advice that you hold him at home? And then they told Nimai, Nimai, don't come down, remain there only. Until they agreed to send you to school. So, at this time, Nimai spoke the philosophy of Dattatreya. What is clean? What is unclean? For God, there is nothing that is clean or unclean. Because the whole creation is His emanation. So, he spoke very great philosophy, Nimai, at the top of the sitting on the top of the pots. So actually you will find child Nimai speaking many times philosophical points to his mother. Like one time when Nimai was telling why should we eat this pedas? You can instead you can eat mitti, it's all the same. So at that time, Mother Sachi spoke of philosophy. She said, you can make a brick, but you cannot store water in it. But when you make a pot, you can store water in it. So these two have two different purposes. You see? It's not one and the same. So she defeated actually Child Nimai speaking the Mayavad philosophy once. So you will find Mother Sachi also is no less. Although she may appear like a household wife, she has all the understanding of the philosophy very nicely. So later on, when Jagannath Mishra also decides to send him to study on the advice of many of his friends and everybody, and Nimai becomes very, very learned. Always surrounded by his students, he would look like a beautiful moon surrounded by stars. So Vrindavanadas Thakur says, what comparison can I give when I see Nimai in the banks of the Ganges surrounded by his friends? I can say that he looks like a moon, but moon is not a very good comparison because moon has got black spots in it. But Nimai's face was spotless, he says. Then what other comparison could be given? Then he says that one more comparison he gave. What was the comparison he gave? Actually, I have to locate it where it is. But finally he says, he looks like the form of Krishna sitting along with the covered boy surrounding him in the bank of the river, in the bank of the Yamuna river. And this is a fitting analogy, he says. Why? Because Krishna is spotless, Krishna Chandra. Similarly, this is Gaur Chandra. He is spotless. This is a very fitting example, he says. So, Nimai used to go along with his boys and have talks on Nyaya. He would come back home. But Mother Sachi saw many, many visions even at home. Like she would find sometimes, she would hear the sound of a flute and she would search all over. At last she would come to the sanctum of her house where Krishna was worshipped. And suddenly the sound would stop and she would see a full moon on the chest of Nimai. And in that full moon she will find Krishna's form. She would see in the night sometimes, she would see that. And other times she would hear the sounds of loud kirtanas with kartals and mridangas, very, very sweet kirtan. She would not know where it is coming from. She would go all around the house searching. She wouldn't be able to find it. In this way, she got many visions at home, even when Nimai was only a young child, young boy. Later, there's one later pastime which I appreciated very much, which is when Nimai is married to Lakshmi Devi. One time Nimai sent a word to Mother Sachi that 20 sannyasis are coming to our home. Please keep the prasadam ready. So, generally speaking, whenever any guest comes to somebody's home, there is always a fear, how are you going to serve them? Because calling guests is very easy, but serving is very difficult, isn't it? And that too, 20 sannyasis. One sannyasi is to be taken care of with great attention. So Sachi rushed to the kitchen and she didn't find enough ingredients to cook. And she was in a bit of anxiety. As soon as she was in anxiety, immediately the next moment, she didn't even know who it is. Some personalities came. They came and delivered a lot of goods for cooking. Next moment they disappeared, they vanished. And Lakshmi Devi went to the kitchen and she cooked varieties of special preparations. Innumerable varieties, incredible varieties she made. And then Nimai Pandit went to the kitchen. First, as soon as he brought them all, he made them sit and he went into the kitchen to check how everything was cooked. He observed the items prepared and everything. Then he arranged for them to be brought out. He personally arranged it to be served to all of them, gave them a nice sitting place. So here Vrindavanadas Thakur explains about the importance of how a householder should render service to sannyasis. So he personally oversaw that they are happy, they are being wonderfully served. And I'll read the later part of that. Very nice pastime. She says here, the 20 sannyasis came to Nimai's house, became a subject of conversation throughout Navadvip. He says here, Lakshmidevi worked without any assistance to serve her Lord and Master, yet she was always in a cheerful mood. Seeing her wonderful qualities and pious nature, Mother Sachi's joy increased day by day. In the early morning, Lakshmi would perform the household chores as an ideal wife. Here I saw, for ideal wife and husband, there is so much lesson start here. She would rise early in the morning, she would bathe, and she would go to the puja room. She would arrange all the puja paraphernalia, like the agarbattis and the lamp and the water and the shank and everything. She would draw the beautiful rice paste mixed with colors. She would draw a rangoli there. And then she would go to cook. And then he is saying that she arranged all the paraphernalia required for the Lord's worship. She worshipped Tulasi Devi and she sought the needs of Mother Sachi, serving her with great affection. And Lakshmi Devi's wonderful qualities were noticed by Lord Gaurachandra, but he never spoke a word. He just noticed and took note of it, appreciated. And she would be for hours massaging the Lord's lotus feet on her lap. And then later on, this Lakshmi Devi, when Nimai Pandit goes to Gaya, she goes to the Ganges, sitting in the bank of the Ganges, thinking of her dear husband. She was constantly chanting, and she didn't eat or drink anything for days together. And she left her body in great separation after that. So this section shows how Nimai and Lakshmi Devi, later on you will find Nimai and Vishnu Priya, how they lived like Lakshmi Narayan, with all the qualities that ideal householder should set. An example, very beautiful. There are many pages, I am just reading one small glimpse of it I gave you. So, in this way, she was able to please Mother Sachi with her affection, with her devotion, and her husband with her affection devotion. Same thing with Nimai. He is fulfilling the duty as an ideal householder. Actually, you will find one time he brought Isharapuri also to his house. He arranged prasad with his own hands. And Isharapuri told him, you are serving me everything, what about you? He said, you eat everything as much as you want. He served everything out. Can always be cooked for me later on. So, here, till now, Nimai has not yet began expressing his devotional ecstasies, till now. He is simply like a Nyaya teacher, surrounded by students, discussing on Nyaya. Sometimes Srivas Thakur would come on the way. Srivas was a very great Brahmana. So Nimai would be coming on the opposite side. He would go and offer him obeisances when he would get up. Srivas would ask him, "Hey, great Brahmana, what is the use of all your education and knowledge? If this knowledge doesn't awaken love for Krishna, your knowledge is simply useless. When are you going to use your knowledge to glorify Krishna?" Srivas would directly ask him. And Nimai would say, "If I have the blessings of pure souls like you, one day I'll become a very great devotee of Krishna." And he would offer obeisances and proceed like that. So in this way, Nimai was more like a Brahmana boy, very respected, very talented, deeply learned. That's all people knew. Due to Yogamaya potency, he covered the minds of all the residents of Navadvip, so they could not recognize who he was. They simply loved him without knowing who he was also. So, one very popular, famous devotee there in Navadvip is the Kolavecha Sridhar. This Kolavecha Sridhar was such a poor Brahmana, very simple Brahmana, selling some banana leaves and banana cups and banana stalks, banana flowers. He would be selling these things, which were very easily available anywhere. But he would collect them together and make a little bit of earning from that, without keeping much profit. But he was a very great pure devotee of Krishna. So Nimai Pandit, delighted in his association, you will find Nimai Pandit's arguments with him are full of lessons for us, especially for growing devotees. Like, he would go to the Kolavecha's shop and ask him, "Kolavecha, look at you, you are a great Krishna devotee. What has Krishna given you? I can see that you don't have enough food to eat. And look at your cloth. It is torn in so many places. I am seeing the other wealthy merchants of the same town. They are worshipping Chandi or Durga or somebody. Even now you find in Bengal there is so much of Durga worship. That category is also there. And there are people worshipping Krishna. He said, look at them, how wealthy they are. How well to do, how they dress fine clothes. How they eat very fine foods. Look at you. What's the use of your worshipping Krishna? If anybody would be a neophyte devotee, they would take this statement very seriously. And they may get bewildered. Maybe I should take Durga also into account. They may think, is it not true? But Kolavicha was so confident. He said, my dear Brahmana, why do you say like this? You know, the king of the whole country, he may wear some dress, he may eat some fine food, and his life goes on. On the other hand, take a bird living in the tree, does it not get its food? It flies here and there and gets some fruits, and it gets its food, and it has a nest to live. Somebody may live in a palace, somebody may live in a small house. What difference it makes, because the life comes to pass in this world. The only credit is our devotion. And the most important is our satisfaction. I am completely satisfied with whatever Krishna has sent. What is the use if one has no satisfaction even after possessing a lot? So, Kolavacha was very satisfied. Although he wore a dress which was torn in many places. He lived in a thatched hut with many holes. So, Nimai would say, No. Although you externally exhibit that you are very poor, I know that you have a secret treasure. And Kolavicha would innocently say, what treasure do you think I have, Nimai? If you come and see, this is my house. My house is open, it doesn't have a door also, you come and see. What do you think I am hiding inside? You can see for yourself. Nimai would say, no, I know very well. You have a great secret treasure. Right now I am not going to expose you. At the right time I will expose you. Expose the world about your treasure. And then Nimai would say, actually it's a very great combination. Nimai was an aggressive Brahmana, whereas the Kolavacha was a very polite and gentle and well behaved and mild personality. It was a very good combination of these two people. So Nimai would say, my dear Brahmana, I will leave you, I will spare you only if you give me this banana leaves, banana cups, everything free of cost. And Kolavacha would wonder, actually, he would say that I don't make any profit. But anyway, because you are a Brahmana, you are asking, whatever you want, you take it free, but don't fight with me. Whatever you want to take it, I will leave you. And then Nimai would say, yes, I am surely going to take, but you have to ensure that you give me good quality also. It is not enough you give me free, but you have to give me good quality also. So like this Nimai would demand. In fact, sometimes Nimai would sit in his house and eat prasad also, along with Kolavicha. And Kolavicha loved him so dearly that he would, sometimes he would take out a bopla from the top of his roof and he would make some halwa kind of thing, with milk, mixed with milk, and he would serve to Nimai Pandit. Which goes to show he greatly delighted in serving Nimai Pandit. He didn't know who he was, Nimai Pandit. Somehow he delighted in serving him. He loved him very dearly, seeing this Brahmana. And one day Nimai Pandit asked him, Kolavacha, do you know who I am? He asked, who are you? You are Nimai. Okay, I am Nimai. But who am I? You are a great Brahmana. You are son of a great Brahmana, he said. No, you are not aware. I am the master of Ganga Devi, he said, whom you every day worship. Because the Kolavicha Sridhar would set aside some portion of his earning for worshipping Ganga Devi. He said, I am the master of Ganga Devi. And he would say, Kolavicha would say, are you not afraid to commit such an offense to say such a thing? It's a great offense to Ganga. So, because of Yogamaya potency, Kolavicha could not see who Nimai Pandit was. But Nimai Pandit revealed the truth. That Ganga Devi serves my feet, Lotus Feet, he would tell. So in this way, Every time when Gauravacha Sridhar would see this beautiful form of Nimai coming with his beautiful moon-like face, wearing a sacred thread across his body, and making arguments with him, he delighted very greatly in that. In this way, for Krishna, there is no activity to do in this world. But the only activity for him is to have this kind of exchanges with his devotees. And the one of the reasons why Krishna delights in such arguments is his devotees are completely pure. And the devotees also have no material work to do. Krishna also has no material work to do. Because both are completely pure and transparent. Prabhupada writes in the in one of his purports that the Lord and the devotee are transcendently attached to one another. And the only delight they get is in each other's association. Later on, when Nimai Pandit reveals who is this Gauravacha Sridhar in the Mahaprakash Leela, Gauravacha Sridhar only asked for one boon from him. My dear Lord, I didn't know who you are, your great glory. Now I am so happy and to get your mercy. He said, life after life, let me become a banana seller. Banana leaf, banana cup and banana flower and fruit seller. And life after life you come to my shop and you argue with me and you demand me to give you in free. And this is the only thing I want. And I don't want anything else from you. I don't want Ashtasiddhis. I don't want to become a king of the world. I don't want anything, he said. Which goes to show that a devotee's real heart, real delight is to associate with Krishna and to be of some joy to him. If this is what gives you happiness, arguing with me and demanding things from me and taking it free, running away, even by cheating me, you are getting delight. Yes, you cheat me a million times. And let that give happiness to your heart. Because not only everything belongs to you, even I belong to you. Everything belongs to you. So, this is our... Gauravacha. One section of the Chaitanya Bhagavata is reading something very important for brahmacharis. So I will read it as it is. He says here, and Nimai Pandit as a teacher is saying, Nimai felt obliged to protect the conditioned souls from deviating from religious principles. He never failed to rectify one of his students when necessary. Indeed, he would chastise the forgetful boy to such a degree that he would feel ashamed and never again forget to put tilaka. He is saying, Nimai Pandit is saying, my dear boy, I see that you have forgotten to put tilak. What is the reason for this? Shastra declares that the forehead not decorated with tilaka is no better than a crematoria. I can understand from your neglect that your Brahminical practices have been rendered useless. Go home and perform your Brahminical duties again. When you have put on a tilaka, you can return for your lessons. Whoever was negligent was eligible for Lord's strict correction. And Nimai's character was exemplary, he says. So, actually, even now you find there are many devotees. You know, where Sandeep Gera Prabhu, he wears a tilak and goes for teaching in his coaching class. A beautiful big tilak he puts and goes. So, putting this tilak is for purification and protection. Actually, many times people fear what will others say. That is only psychological complexity. If you wear tilak, somebody may like it and they may also want to wear. There is just like in Dubai, I mean in the Gulf countries, there was one Vaishnava devotee who used to go with tilak to the company. And different people started wearing different kinds of tilaks and going to company. Some people putting this, putting everything. One day the Muslim owner of the company said, anybody who comes with all these different Hindu tilaks will be thrown out of the job, he said. Next day, everybody arrested and went except that one devotee who went to the tilak. And then everybody was fearing, today is going to be thrown out of the job. And then the notice came, they said, except this one man, nobody else will be allowed to put tilak. So, because that fellow said, one who is willing to be thrown out of the job is so surrendered to God that you know nobody can stand in front of him. And then he says, Nima's character was exemplary. He never laughed or joked in the company of women. In fact, he kept his distance from women and avoided meeting them. This is not after sannyas. This is before. After sannyas, needless to say. He is saying, it is a fact that Nimai caused havoc in Navadvip, but he never was involved in any incident concerning women. He never even looked at a woman. In this incarnation, the Lord did not even hear the name of a woman. For this reason, those who are actually realized devotees never glorify Lord Chaitanya as Gauranga Nagar or the Lord in the mood of a paramour. Although every kind of praise is applicable to the Lord, knowledgeable pure devotees glorify the nature that the Lord manifests in a particular incarnation. Like that he says. So this is very important. Sometimes after Lord Chaitanya's return to Godhead, some followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became apasampradayis. They started treating Lord Chaitanya as like Krishna, considering themselves his paramours. Just like Krishna has his paramour lovers, gopis. So they started treating themselves as paramour lovers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That unfortunately Gauranga Nagaris, Saki Beki, like that, there are 13 apasampradayas like that. Unfortunately, these people, they sing, they dance, they wear saris, and they propagate sahajayic type of culture, which is actually a degradation and a deviation. That's why he is specifically mentioning this, that in this incarnation, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never did pastimes like Krishna does in Vrindavan, you know, playing his flute and calling the gopis and to come and dance with him and rasa dance. Although he is Krishna himself, he did not perform such leelas. He purposefully came as a sannyasi. He took sannyas actually. So nobody can even misunderstand him. There is no scope of misunderstanding. And Prabhupada was telling one devotee, see, if you want to know in your life what kind of example you should set, you should see the life of Lord Chaitanya, he said. Just see the life of Chaitanya. It is so spotless. You cannot find one fault in his life. He is so pure. You cannot find one hole in his life. He is a man of character. So Prabhupada says we should follow in the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's why he set an example. So nobody can misunderstand Chaitanya Nitai, Nitai Chaitanya's pastimes. Because by seeing his lifestyle, he is like the crushed jewel of all sannyasis. Yeah, that was one thing. Now, later on, Nimai Pandit, as you know, he goes to Gaya and for the Shraddha of his father. And then when he returns back, he is maddened by love of God greatly. And after that he... the whole behavior of Nimai changes so much, even students are bewildered. He teaches the students only Krishna Tattva. He is telling all the grammar, all the different words, they all talk only about Krishna. The root of all words is only Krishna. In fact, in the evening, after a whole day of teaching, he would ask his students, so many students, did I teach you properly? And all students would tell him, sir, you only taught us about Krishna today. From morning to evening, you said everything is Krishna only. And then he said, now I don't think I can teach you any more grammar. All of you tie your books now. They all tied. And said, so what should we do? That is the time he introduced the Harinam Sankirtan. Hari Haraye Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama Haraye Nama Krishna Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudana
Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudana
Hare Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama
Hare Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama
Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudana
Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudana
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
This is the first chanting and dancing that he did with all his students. Harnam Sankirtan. He started the Harnam Sankirtan movement from here. Then you gradually, as you proceed, you will hear about him, how he became the Lord of Navadvip. Actually, some devotees recognized him as the Supreme Lord, some of them didn't recognize in the beginning. Gradually they understood. We will find in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, sometimes he declared himself as the Supreme Lord by, like you find the in one of the two brothers' house on Ekadashi day, he wanted to sit on the seat of Vishnu and accept the bhog offered. And they offered to him, knowing very well he is Sakshat Vishnu. He is not different from the Lord. Similarly, later on in Mahaprakash Leela also he showed who he is. But he will cover the devotees with Yogamaya and will not continuously make them know that he is supreme. He always behaved in the mood of a devotee. Even when somebody would remind him, you are Vishnu or you are Krishna, he would plug his ears and say, Vishnu, Vishnu. He would not accept. So, he became very dear to the hearts of all, especially Nityananda Prabhu, Srivas Thakur, Advaita Acharya, the Shiva Sangan. There would be kirtans day and night. They said, why only we should do kirtan in the day? Why not in the night also? Why do we waste our time in sleeping? Let us do whole night kirtan also, day in and day out. So there are many pastimes I am skipping, where in one of the pastimes, Nityananda Prabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they put very beautiful robes. In fact, he would change robes. He was dressed in a sari, very beautiful silken sari and ornaments. And he would change the mood. Sometimes he would speak in the mood of Rukmini. Sometimes he would speak in the mood of Saraswati. Different goddesses, roles he would take and speak. Sometimes he would speak in the role of Maya Devi. Every time he changed his mood, there were devotees who were singing the appropriate verse from the scriptures also for his pleasure. And in fact, even Mother Sachi could not detect, who is this lady? She couldn't detect actually. So some of them said, one of the two is surely either Chaitanya and Nityananda, everybody was saying. So there are very wonderful pastimes in Shiva Sangha. So skipping that, we are going to the Anta Leela of Chaitanya Bhagavat, where there is a very nice section of Mahaprabhu after taking sannyas from Keshava Bharati. How he behaved is something very wonderful to hear about. After this, after he had shaved his head in Katwa and he had taken sannyas from Keshava Bharati, it is said, Lord Chaitanya threw away his kamandalu, threw his sannyas staff, and started dancing wildly. And he told Mukunda to sing kirtan. He was singing. Mahaprabhu was sometimes rolling on the ground. Sometimes he would stand up. He would jump up so high, and crying tears streaming from his eyes. Sometimes he would laugh very loudly. And all the devotees also sang very loudly, followed. And then when Kesha Bharati saw this, he did the same also. He threw his sannyas danda, he threw his kamandal and he also started dancing. So the guru and disciple both catching each other's hands, they were dancing together, and it was a great sight for everybody to see. Mahaprabhu became so ecstatic. He's saying, thrilling all the devotees. And then the devotees also reciprocated by vigorously chanting. And the whole night passed, the guru and disciple dancing together, saying. And in the morning, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took permission from Kesha Bharati, telling him, I will enter the forest to find the Lord of my heart, Sri Krishna. Keshabharati said, why only you should go? I will also follow you. I will accompany you. And I want to release the ecstasy of Sankirtan. So I am also coming with you, he said. So, and then Keshabharati was walking in the front, and next to him behind, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and behind him Nityananda Prabhu, they all were walking together and going ahead. Actually, nobody knew where they are going to go because Mahaprabhu didn't reveal to them. In fact, he was going towards the western direction and people didn't know exactly where he is going to go. In fact, Mahaprabhu told Chandrasekhar Acharya, who would naturally go and give news to the Navadvipasis, he embraced him and told him, please return home and tell the Vaishnavas that I have left for the forest. And then he told him, You are my father and I am your son. You are my eternal associate. Go and give this news to all the Navadvipasis. So, Chandrasekhar goes to Navadvip. And then when Advaita Acharya, who came to know now that Nimaya Pandit has taken sannyas at Katwa and he is going further ahead. Now we are not going to see him. So he was so much lamenting Advaita Acharya. He said, what is the use of we people maintaining our lives? He said, I will at once enter Ganga and give up my life. And if I am not allowed to, I will do the same at night, he said, with no one to notice. In this way, when Advaita Acharya was saying, there was an Akashvani from the sky, which said, Advaita Acharya, do not lament. Very soon, the Navadvip Chandra will be visiting all of you again. He will be amongst all of you. Then everybody became very joyful. And everybody chanted the glories of Mahaprabhu. And then now, here is a section which talks about Mahaprabhu and traveling with Nityanpu, Gadadhar Pandit and Mukunda in the western direction. And all of them are wondering where are we going, but they were sure that wherever we are going, we are with Mahaprabhu, no problem. They were going with him. And Nityanprabhu also and Mahaprabhu also, they both would walk like a lion or like an elephant sometimes. And they would walk so fast that others would have to run and catch up with them. And they would walk. And Lord turned around and told all the people that all of you go home and chant Krishna's names. Whatever devotional mellows you want to manifest in your heart, especially the ones which are manifested in Brahma's heart or Shiva's heart, let it be manifested in your heart also. Like the Lord blessed all the people. And then everybody loudly chanted the holy name and others went back except a few. Few who followed him. Now the Lord is coming to Radha Desh. See, Radha Desh means where no river flows, no Ganges flows. Now, in such a place, you will find in Chaitanya Leela many Vaishnavas who appeared in places which were earlier not holy places or which were like common places. The reason Vrindavan Das Thakur says is they want to appear in those places and make them holy by their birth in those places. So now Mahaprabhu is going to Radha Desh there. Although the district was very pleasant with banyan trees and everything, cows were grazing peacefully and all. But there were also residents who came and they saw the singing and dancing and they were actually not pious, but they still offered obeisances, he says. For a long time there was no Sankirtan in that area and people had never seen a pure devotee manifesting love. Still they came and offered obeisances as if, they are impelled by the Sankirtan to offer. But there were other fellows who were non-devotees who were jeering at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doing Sankirtan and said, hey, why is this fellow crying so much? As soon as they said like this, then they also started crying. And they started chanting the holy name and they fell on the ground and offered obeisances like that. Only a few very mischievous souls were left out, he says. And then Lord came to a Brahmana's house. He spent the night in Brahmana's house after eating. And then in the morning, actually when Lord Chaitanya slept in the Brahmana's house, surrounding him, many other Vaishnavas were sleeping in all directions, all the sides, the night. Wherever there was place, Vaishnava slept in the house. And then early morning, Mahaprabhu got up and started walking away, leaving the devotees behind. And when by the time devotees got up, not finding Mahaprabhu, they all cried very bitterly. And they started searching in all directions, trying to find out. Exactly like how you find Krishna leaving Ram leaving Ayodhya Vasis and proceeding away when they were all sleeping at night, isn't it? Or like Krishna leaving the Vajabhasis with Akrura and along with Balram. So they were feeling like that. The separation of the devotees explained how much they cried and searched for him everywhere. They even entered into fields, they entered into river, entered everywhere into the jungle and searching for him. So because Lord Chaitanya was in a very great trance of ecstasy, nobody could find out. He was marching very fastly. And then in great ecstatic swoon, he would cry, oh Krishna! He would shout. From that sound which reached the ears of the devotees, now they understood, somewhere he is around only. Somewhere nearby. So they traced the sound. At last they found him, where he is. Again they came running to catch up with him. And then, again Mukunda and others came. The Mukunda started singing. And the Lord heard the kirtan and he started to dance again. And they went on westward. And after they went about 8 miles or so, there's a place called Vakreshwar. Suddenly at this point the Lord changed direction. He's going in the eastern direction now. So everybody was wondering why the Lord has changed direction. Now they understood that Lord actually came to Radhadesh only to give mercy to the residents of Radhadesh. He had no other purpose for going in that direction. Now he is changing his direction. And then he declared to all the devotees, now I am going to Nilachal, Jagannath Puri. And everybody was relieved. At least we know the destination now. Where we have to go now. Understood. And the Lord also told them, and you all should accompany me, he said. They were even more happy. Okay, he is not going to leave us behind. And now, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as he was proceeding further, he was traveling towards Ganga. And he was very unhappy because although he was singing and dancing and asking everyone to chant, the people were completely dull and they were not chanting at all. There were many impious souls who kept their mouths mum, and Mahaprabhu felt very sorry. He said, why have I come to a place where no one chants Lord Krishna's holy name? It is a grievous mistake for which I must relinquish my life, he said. So this teaches us a very important lesson. When we are Krishna's devotees, we are trying to become devotees and preach, the goal should be to awaken as many living entities as possible to chanting of the holy name. A devotee can never be satisfied seeing a world full of atheists. Living in a world like that is simply kind of contented and satisfied that I will just practice myself. One should always feel sorry to see the sorry state of affairs of the living entities. And Mahaprabhu has taken sannyas for what purpose? To make everyone chant the holy name. And now that people are not chanting, they were turning their face away or ridiculing or neglecting, he felt very sorry. At that time, some cowherd boys were bringing their cows and herding the cows. One boy was inspired by Mahaprabhu very much. So he chanted the holy name. He says, see, one of them was a very pious boy and he began chanting Krishna's name. Lord was extremely happy to hear the holy name from the mouth of that little boy. And he told the devotees, last few days I have passed through many villages and nowhere was Krishna's name being chanted. Tell me the reason. Why is this boy chanting? And then he asked, how much farther is it to Ganga? And somebody said, it is about an hour's walk, he said. And he said, that is why, now I know, because Ganga is present. Within 1 hour distance, here the people are again very pious and they are chanting Krishna's name, and he started glorifying Ganga as Vishnupadi, one who emerges from the lotus feet of Vishnu, one who is a pure devotee of Vishnu. Like that he started glorifying Ganga. And then the Lord said, because of all these days not hearing the people reciprocating the holy name, now I have to plunge into Ganga and take a dip to purify myself, he said. Which means, wherever we go, we should not only sing and dance, but we should make everybody sing and dance also. Actually, if people reciprocate to our request and everyone sings and chants and dances, then they become purified and we become purified also. Mahaprabhu was never able to tolerate people refusing to accept the gift of the holy name. You see that? See, the Lord is saying, I will cleanse myself completely by bathing in the Ganga today. And he continued his journey. And then in this way, the two lords, Chaitanya and Nityananda, they were walking. They entered the waters and they thoroughly washed themselves with Ganga, praising Ganga with many, many wonderful prayers. See, they are saying, Ganga Devi, your water is the nectar of love of Godhead. The result derived from drinking your water is miraculous. By your mercy, the living entities that do so acquire a taste for chanting Lord Krishna's holy name. Because of your influence, even the wild animals and birds that live close to your water become more fortunate than wealthy men who live far away from you. Because on his way, he saw many rich people peeping out of their houses but not uttering one mantra also from their mouth. Whereas he saw at the same time in Ganga many forest animals come to drink water. He said these are more fortunate than those people because they are wealthy but they have no holy names in their mouth. Whereas the animals here drink water and they become spiritualized by you and they will attain the holy name very soon. Either he said. So hearing all this glorification, Ganga became bashful. And then Chaitanya Nityananda, that night they are staying in a pious Brahmana's house. And then next day again, when the next day, he is saying the next day the devotees arrived, which means they could not catch up with Mahaprabhu and Tiyanapu, only they both went ahead. And all the fellows, they arrived next day. Arrived. And then together now they started proceeding towards Neelachal. And then Lord told Nityananda, now he gave him an instruction, now you should go back to Navadvip. He's saying, you must immediately go to Navadvip. Shiva's Pandit and other devotees are grievously afflicted by my departure. So he's telling them, you alleviate their pain by giving my message to them. What is my message to them? On my way to Neelachal, I will come to Advaita's house in Shantipur. That was the message he had given. And then Nityananda, and then you go and bring them right away. And I am going to Fulia to see Haridas Thakur. Now when he goes to Fulia, this is another pastime you hear about when Mahaprabhu went to Fulia, how many of the Navadvipasis come to see him. That pastime of crossing the Ganga with boats, that's very elaborately explained. But prior to that, there is a very wonderful description about Lord Nityananda Prabhu's travel back to Navadvip. It is said Nityananda Prabhu was almost like a maddened elephant, that sometimes he would stand under a kadamba tree and make his body into a threefold bend, and he would play on his flute for hours and hours. He would stand like that, remembering Krishna. Sometimes he would sit in the bank of Ganga and weep so piteously that anybody passing by cannot avoid crying themselves, seeing his plight in remembrance of Krishna. Sometimes he would laugh so loudly that his whole body would shake in laughter. And nobody could understand. Kunthan was in the mood of Balram. At one point of time, he moved his body like a snake and jumped into Ganga. And in this way he went all the way up to Navadvip in Ganga only, moving his body like a snake. Because he is actually Ananta Shesh himself. And he came out of the waters in Navadvip. And there he went and met all the devotees. Gave them the news. When Nityananda returned, he saw Sachimata. How she was speaking to herself, asking the people. Anybody would come, she would ask, are you from Mathura? Did you see Krishna? And she would say, I'm hearing the flute sound of Krishna. Is he somewhere nearby? Where is he? She would ask all the people like that. Did you see Krishna Balaram? Because she would say that I'm hearing all the covered boys coming with Krishna playing their horns and flute sounds along with the mooing of the cows and calves. I think they are all turning back, but I'm not able to see them. Did any of you see? Like that she would ask. So seeing her plight, Nityananda Prabhu was amazed himself. And he offered her obeisances. And then she cried out, oh my dear son, my dear darling boy, she called. And in this way, all the devotees came and surrendered Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu gave information. In fact, he came to know Sachimata didn't eat for 12 days. No food, no water, nothing. Constantly weeping for Nimai Pandit. And Nityananda Prabhu pleads her now that all devotees are hungry. They want you to cook and offer it to Krishna and give all of us prasad. In fact, I am also very hungry. Please cook and give. And she got very delighted that I got a wonderful seva for devotees. And she started cooking very nicely, and she offered to Nityananda first, then to all the devotees, then finally she accepted also. And seeing that all devotees became very satisfied and happy. And then Mahaprabhu, when he went to Fulia, it's another pastime of about how thousands of people, when I was reading it, I read, even pregnant women, they joined the crowd, deeply breathing Krishna's names. They were also wanting to go and take darshan of Nimai Pandit having taken sannyas. Actually, this was the purpose for which Nimai Pandit took sannyas. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's goal is to propagate the holy name. But when he came as Nimai Pandit, he saw it wasn't happening. But when he took sannyas, In those days, sannyasis were so greatly respected. He accepted in the Kesha Bharati Sampradaya. Actually, seeing a sannyasi means seeing Sakshat Vishnu. It is true even now in some places. Like if you see Madhava Sampradaya, they have this Paryaya festival. Night 1 o'clock, there are 5 lakh people to watch that festival. 5 lakh people in the streets. It's like ocean of heads, you see. One sannyasi takes, he's going to take Paryaya. About two or three years they worship. Once in about 12 years or 15 years they get chance like that to worship the deities, the ashtamats. Similarly, Shankaracharya also, when he visits some place, sometimes 3 lakh or 4 lakh people would come to visit. Because when one takes sannyas and gives his body, mind, words, everything in Lord's service. So that's why Mahaprabhu took, and then the Navadvipa Vasis who are otherwise apparently neglectful, even after Nimaya Pandit started the Sankirtan in the Shiva Sangan, still there were people who are criticizing Shivas, criticizing Vaishnavas, that we'll throw the whole house in Ganges, or we'll throw away their kartals into the river, and we'll break their Mridangaman, the Muslims will come and trouble, and so many things they were criticizing. They were not aware of the position of Nimaya Pandit. But now Nimaya Pandit, when he took sannyas, the whole Navadvip, and many of them were crying, they said, we have committed so many offences to you, now we are coming to meet you personally and offer obeisances, catch your lotus feet and become free from the offences we committed against you. And in this way they came, many of them, thousands of them. It is said how they were jumping into the boat, a thousand devotees, imagine they jump into a boat, the whole boat would sink or it would break into pieces. But somehow the boat didn't break. It was moving. Some people thought they were jumping into boat, they were jumping into water only. But still they were in so much ecstasy, they never drowned. Somehow in ecstasy when they were singing the holy name, they were smoothly, even those who didn't know how to swim, they also somehow crossed. On the other side they landed. It is said. So, it's a very beautiful description. It is said there was only one thought in their minds, to reach Puliya. Discarding all bodily discomfort, people chanted with happy abandon. The loud cries of Hari echoed throughout the sky. Very beautiful description it is. In fact, when they saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, everybody fell to the ground offering obeisances. When they were offering obeisances, the crowd was so much. One fellow was falling on another person falling on another person, like that. Some of the Vaishnavas caught hold of other Vaishnavas' lotus feet because they couldn't catch Mahaprabhu's feet. And they tightly held it to their chest, bathing it with tears. He says, I don't know whose feet they caught. And many of them were raising their arms, crying, please save us, save us. Please forgive us for all of our offenses. And like that they were praying. In this way the fields and roads were overcrowded. And then when he saw the Lord arrive at his house, then Advaita Acharya, he goes to the Shantipur after this. Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu blessed everybody and then he goes to Shantipur. And Advaita Acharya saw, this is another beautiful section. Advaita Acharya clasped Lord's lotus feet and bathed them with tears of love. And the Lord also lifted up Advaita Acharya and he embraced him warmly. And then they both sat down. And Advaita Acharya's son, small, Achyutananda, he came running. He was actually naked. He's a small kid, small child. His body was covered with dust. Although his body was covered with dust, he came running and offered obeisances to Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu picked him up and put him on his lap and said, see, Achyuta, your father is Advaita Acharya. He is also like my father. So in that sense, we both are like brothers. He told them. And immediately, Achyutananda, he said, my dear Lord, how we can say my father is your father? You are father of all living entities. Even Brahma comes from your navel. You are the father of all living beings in the world. And all the people understood, this is not a baby's talk. This is actually the Supreme Lord in his heart making him speak the truth. Actually, you find Achyutananda behaving like this. One day, somebody came to Advaita Acharya and they offered obeisances and said, I have a doubt about Lord Chaitanya's identity, you know, can you please tell me who Lord Chaitanya is? So Advaitacharya thought, from an external worldly sentiment, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a sannyasi. He is a yati, sannyasi. On the other hand, the actual truth is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. So which one should I tell him? He thought. And then he thought, depending on the qualification of the hearer, I should speak the truth. So the person he thought is not so qualified. So otherwise they said, he is a Nimai Pandit, he is a great sannyasi now. Then he said, at that time suddenly Achyutananda stormed out of the house and came and said, my dear father, how can you tell such a lie? Lord Chaitanya, he is the father of all living entities. Indeed, he is the father of Brahma. And from his navel comes the lotus in which Brahma is born. He is the one who gives wisdom to Brahma. And Brahma gives to Sanak, Sanatan, Sanat Kumar and all the Kumaras. And the knowledge comes down the line. How can you call him an ordinary sannyasi? I cannot tolerate to hear such a thing from your mouth. When he said like this, Advaitacharya was so stunned by hearing his son. He picked him up and embraced him and showered him with tears and said, my dear son, you are like my father, I am like your son. He glorified him. So, this is Achyutananda. The Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spent the night at Advaitacharya's house. And the Lord told him, I am going to Neelachal. But you should not become despondent. After offering my obeisances to Lord Jagannath, I will return here to see you all again. You are all my eternal associates and are more dearer to me than my very life, Mahaprabhu said. And then devotee said, as you wish, O Lord, who can divert you from your decision? But then they said, it is very unsafe to travel to Orissa now, because the kingdoms of Bengal and Orissa are at the verge of a war breakout. It was not a good time, because as you all know, 700 years we were under Muslim rule. So Mahaprabhu appeared in that period only, 500 years ago. So time to time, actually what used to happen is, the Muslims were expanding their kingdom and they were subduing the Hindu kings. And those Hindu kings whom they couldn't subdue, they will sometimes, what they would do, they would marry the daughter of a Hindu king. They would marry. And then after marrying the daughter, they would say, if you want your daughter to be happy, you should help me to capture that kingdom. So because you can imagine, once the family ties come, then the Hindu king, for him, his daughter's well-being is more important than, you know, somebody of the same caste, like Hindu king, same religion. So then Hindu kings would fight. In this way, the Muslim kings gradually were trying to usurp the whole of India in their times. Many things they did. This was one problem. Another problem was, in those times, the Hindu kings were not united because they were fighting amongst themselves. That became a very easy thing for the Muslims. So the Muslims, what they would do, they would use diplomacy to find out which king and which king don't get along well. They'd find out. And then they would go and make friendship with one of those kings and get the daughter married to themselves. And then they would tell them, I know very well that you don't like that fellow. So come, let's both join together and finish him. Like that they did. This is how India became splitted. Although India had many powerful Rajputs and everybody, because India was divided amongst one another, so there was so much of... This is another thing we learn a good lesson. If devotees have quarrel, it is like that only. If devotees have misunderstandings amongst one another, then actually the whole country became weak, India, at that time. Then the purpose for which the mission exists is defeated by that. So, at that time, the Orissa and Bengal, there was a likelihood of a terrible war. So, both the states were sending spies to each other, to find out the situation. So, there was a lot of suspicion in any moving person. If somebody is moving from one place to another, people thought that, you know, he may be a cheater. Sometimes somebody may shave up the head and be like a sannyasi, saying that I am a traveling mendicant, and it may be a spy also, you know. So they wouldn't allow anybody to go so easily. In fact, there was one fear of spies, another fear of dacoits. In fact, the dacoits would first kill the person and then check his baggage, what he has, yeah. Because, you know, if you check the baggage and nothing is there, you may want to leave, but then by the time thief may be caught. So that is why they are warning, that comes later. So they are saying that this border is infested with dacoits. Please consider waiting until the situation improves. Lord simply said, obstacles may be there, but I must go, he said. And then Advaita Acharya is telling, he understood the heart of Lord Chaitanya and said, who can obstruct your path, my Lord? All hindrances are your servants. You have made up your mind to go to Nilachal, and so you can go of your own sweet will. The Lord was pleased to hear this statement, and he departed walking like a mad and lion. And devotees ran after the Lord, unable to restrain their tears. So he is saying all the obstacles are servants of Krishna. Actually, there is nothing that Krishna cannot do. There is no one to restrict him. And now he is appearing as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So there is no fear for him. And ultimately, when he has decided to go, then nobody can stop him. This is one lesson we learn from this. Advaita Acharya exactly understood the heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although devotees were very strongly attached to him, they didn't stop Mahaprabhu just because of that fear of Orissa-Bengal border problem. That was only an external reason. Their internal reason was, they were, in fact, Vrindavana Sakura explains, the attachment that devotees had for Chaitanya is exactly like the Vrijabasi's attachment to Krishna. Now if Akrura is coming and taking Krishna Balaram away, how would Vrijabasis cry? Like that these devotees were crying. So they were thinking, there is some nice excuse we have now to hold him back, so that he will be with us for some more time before he goes to Nilachal. That was our idea. But Advaita Acharya understood his mood and said, all obstacles are your servants. So you may proceed. By the way, he says. And then, after some distance, the Lord turned and spoke to all the devotees lovingly. Please don't be sad. I'll never leave you. Go home now and take shelter of the holy name. Very soon I will return back in a few days. He embraced everyone and the devotees were crying. And then the Lord goes ahead with Nityananda, Gadadhar, Mukunda, Govinda, Jagadananda, Brahmananda, all of them. Here comes a very interesting pastime. Here the Lord is asking them, has anyone brought the necessary things for our trip? He asked them. And the devotees replied, no one has the power to do anything independently, my Lord. Without your permission, we did not bring anything. Like that they asked. The Lord also is asking an intelligent question, and devotees give intelligent answer. Has anyone taken anything for the trip? And then devotees are saying, who has the power to carry anything unless you desire so? If you desired, we would have carried. You didn't desire us to carry anything, so we didn't carry anything. So, this very much pleased the Lord, who then explained. Lord is telling them, you have made me very happy by not bringing anything with you. It is a fact that one can enjoy only that which he has been allotted by destiny. Even if one is in the forest, that which destiny has awarded him will come. And if providence wants someone to fast, then even if he is prince, he will have to fast. And he is giving an example. That a prince's cupboard may be filled with varieties of foods. In all kinds of then nourishing foods and all. But if the Lord so wills it, he will not be able to eat it. And how? He is saying, for example, he might get into an argument with somebody, and then because of that he may refuse to eat. So I will not eat today. Like that. Or he may get very sick, feverish or something. Then he cannot eat his food. Although he may be a prince. Then he says, the entire universe is the Lord's storehouse, filled with food. If he so desires, we can get food anywhere. In this way, Lord taught the devotees the proper attitude for a godly person. One who takes his instructions to heart becomes actually happy in life. One may try very carefully to do something, but the result depends entirely upon the Lord's will. So, he is calling that this whole universe is godown of the Lord. And storehouse, like your kitchen, we have a storehouse. For a sadhu, this is the ideal understanding. The whole world is like a godown of Krishna. And all the living entities are Krishna's sons, children. They are Krishna's children, everybody. So, there are rivers where the water is stored. There are trees where there are fruits are stored. Everything is stored. It's like a big godown, he says. So, what lesson we can take for our life from this wonderful episode here. One should not be in too much anxiety. Although sometimes we carry food for our journey, we carry clothes for our winter clothes, sometimes we carry. Sometimes these things may be stripped away from us by providence. And one should not become overly bothered about the bodily necessities. I remember once we were in Bangalore, and from Bangalore to Pune we were supposed to come. And our one of our devotees traveling with us, he made wonderful prasad for journey. Sometimes journey prasad is more opulent than the regular temple prasad also. Because people, like Ekadashi, the day before Ekadashi, people eat little extra only. In order to get strength to fast on Ekadashi day. So when you travel, people sometimes fear that, you know, we are in travel long distance, better carry something wonderful. So this fellow, you know, cooked the two sabjis, chapati and rice and dal, everything was cooked and nicely packed in silver foil covers and everything was kept. And then we boarded the train. And then I was counting the bags, I have three. Then I asked him, how many you have? And he was telling. Suddenly he said, oh Prabhuji, I forgot in the prasadam bag. You know, he said. Then I asked him, did you cook? I asked, oh Prabhuji, cooking 4 hours I cooked. 3-4 hours. I was left in the room. Then he immediately was trying to call one devotee, can you try to catch up the train in the next station? You take a very fast car or something and you bring it there. And that devotee also tried his best. But by the time our train crossed the station and went ahead. Then I told him, Krishna doesn't want you to eat this today. Otherwise, I think this wonderful opulent prasad he cooked is meant for someone else. I think Krishna is feeling that we are becoming too attached to food. So he made you work hard and he fed it to somebody else. You say. And we should be aware, we should be ready for it. And all through the journey, imagine instead of chanting Hare Krishna, if you are meditating, such a wonderful prasad I cooked. No, I didn't get it. You know. And what's the use of a spiritual life, you see? So, yes, we may sometimes make even arrangement, like even Goswamis went door to door and they begged Madhukari and they accepted it. They were not Ajgar Vrati pythons, you know, who just opened their mouth and waited for somebody to put inside. They accepted Madhukari. But one day if you go for Madhukari, you may get something delicious. Another day you may not get. One day you may get only Sukha Roti. Another day you may get something very opulent. So, this teaches actually dependence on the Lord. How do we know somebody is dependent? After making one's small endeavors, one should leave it to the Lord, because Lord is in such a strong control that we are feeble and we are very insignificant in front of Him. Our arrangements alone cannot make us happy. So that's why he is giving the example of a prince. A prince may have so many foods, but he cannot enjoy them unless Krishna sanctions it. He says like that. Sometimes people ask, will this not lead to indifference? Will this not lead to irresponsible behavior? Somebody may not carry prasad and say that whatever Krishna wills. Yeah, of course some travelers in train, they go like that. Sometimes they eat fruits and nuts and whatever is available. But if you are arranging also, we should not become attached to these things. Like for example, sometimes you make a plan for sleeping also nicely. You are going in a train, it's a cold season. You know, you keep something for the head, something for putting down and some nice thick blanket. Some people carry a very big bag full of thick blankets. You've seen transparent. You've seen that bag. You may arrange everything and while going hastily in the train, you may forget to carry it. And after going in the train, there may be chill wind blowing. You just take one chadar and wrap yourself all around and just Krishna Nama Govinda and go to sleep. Yeah. Because, you know, there is no point cursing anybody. Whatever best facility. Actually, every living entity who is trapped in a material body is subjected to pleasure and pain awarded by the destiny, which is ultimately awarded by Krishna for purifying the living entity. Sometimes, despite our arrangements, we may suffer. Despite all our arrangements. And that suffering is actually awarded by Krishna. If you know that actually Krishna is doing this to purify me, then our lamentation is likely to be less. And it is likely to transform into surrender. So, after discussing in this way, the party arrived at the village of Atisar. A very saintly person named Ananta Pandita lived, and the Lord decided to go to his residence. And then Lord goes to his residence, and then he served prasad and everything. Lord sat on his associates. In this way, he instructed how a sannyasi should obtain whatever he needs by begging. The entire night was spent discussing Krishna Katha. The next morning, whole night they spent discussing Krishna Katha. Actually, when they reach Jagannath Puri, the Lord begs actually. When Lord extends his cloth and begs, so many people bring so much. In fact, he's not able to hold only. So much they are giving him. And then he's saying, enough, he's saying. And then he's telling devotees, now I have begged enough, it's enough for all of you. And the devotees laughed and said, now we understand the import of your statement which you said before, that Lord is our maintainer. Now you are only maintaining all of us who are traveling with you. Because you only begged for us everything. And you are such a great personality that, if you just extend your arms, everybody wants to give you. So you are only maintaining us, like the devotees told him later. Anyway, they go to another place called Ambulinga. There's a place called Chatrabhoga where the Ganga is flowing, and Lord Shiva also comes in search of Ganga, and he finds his concert Ganga there, and he turns into water also, and he flows into Ganga. That's called Ambulinga. That's Ambulinga Ghat. So Mahaprabhu approached the pilgrimage spot with increasing ecstasy. And then Lord fainted while loudly chanting the holy names. And Tempu caught him before Mahaprabhu fell to the ground. And all the devotees bathed in Ambulinga Ghat. In fact, after that they put on fresh clothes, everybody. Mahaprabhu also put fresh clothes. But then at that time he was in so much ecstasy, he cried tears, the whole cloth became wet again. So it is said that the Ambulinga Ghat has got hundreds of streams of branches of Ganga there. Similarly, Mahaprabhu's eyes were streaming out hundreds of branches of tears. So a comparison is made between the two. Devotees laughed at this amazing phenomenon, he says. And then they came across one village where there was a landlord called Ramachandra Khan. This is not that other Ramachandra Khan who was giving trouble to Haridas Thakur. This is another good Ramachandra Khan. So although he was a materialist, he was a pious man. He was passing by, actually he was passing in a palanquin, and he saw Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, such a brilliant figure, personality. He immediately got down from the palanquin, went to Mahaprabhu and offered obeisance, stood up with folded palms with great respect. And Mahaprabhu was in so much ecstasy, he was swooning in ecstasy. Jai Jagannath, Jai Jagannath, he was telling. And then when Lord saw him, he calmed himself and then he asked him, who are you? He said, I am the servant of your servant. And then some people along with him, they told Mahaprabhu that he is actually the king of the entire southern region, southern portion of the state. Some people told, he is a very big man. This also teaches a lesson. Now, here is when Ramachandra Khan doesn't say, I am Ramachandra Khan, I am the king of the southern region. He doesn't say that. He says, I am servant of your servant, he says. And then other people informed Mahaprabhu who he was. And then Lord told Ramachandra Khan, tomorrow I will proceed to Neelachal, so can you please assist me? The Lord asked him, knowing that he has some power, he is in a position, so he could take advantage of that to reach Jagannath Puri. So Ramachandra Khan told Mahaprabhu, the roads are very dangerous, so that travel between Bengal and Orissa is very risky. So soldiers come across, even an innocent traveler, they torture him, thinking him to be an enemy spy. The only way I can arrange to send you is in secret. Although I am putting myself in danger, I will help you. For whatever you order, I consider it my prime duty, he said. Such a noble soul. He wanted to help Mahaprabhu by putting himself in danger also. And then he said, my Lord, kindly accept me as your servant and have food in my house along with your associates. I will use everything at my disposal, money, men and influence, to get you across the border tonight. So he is willing to support money, men and influence, everything. So he arranges for Mahaprabhu to go ahead. And then Mahaprabhu asked to Nityananda Prabhu, how far is it to Jagannath Puri from here? And then Of course, Mukunda is singing, Mahaprabhu is dancing, it's going on. Now, the boats were ready. Here there's another beautiful pastime. When they boarded the boat, as the boat was moving in the still night, Lord told Mukunda, like yesterday you sang Mukunda, today now again you sing. He said, I want to hear you sing the holy names. And Mukunda started singing, and Mahaprabhu was next to him. Mahaprabhu also was singing along with him. So the boatman, who was a literate man and simple, he said, I am sure I am going to die today. He said, this singing is creating a great danger for all of us. He said, it was actually a dim night, a moonlit night, and the whole Ganges was very serene, and there were also very big, thick jungle and forest in the sides. So sometimes a tiger would come out of the forest and snarl at the passengers who are passing by, thinking that if they come near, it can pounce on them. And he said, also the waters are filled with man-eating crocodiles, very dangerous crocodiles. And he said, not only that, in the jungle there are many dacoits who are hiding behind the bushes. If they see a boat passing by, they may swim and board the boat and kill all the passengers and take away all the wealth. And he said, please keep quiet, don't make any sounds till we reach Orissa, he said. And devotees also became fearful after hearing this. But the Lord replied in a booming voice, what are you afraid of? My Sudarshan Chakra that protects all Vaishnavas is present here. Give up your fear and continue the kirtan, said. The Lord's reassuring words had an immediate effect on the devotees, and they resumed the chanting with enthusiasm. Soon the boat came to the Orissa border, to Prayag Ghat. And as soon as the Lord put his feet on the Orissan soil, he offered obeisances, as did the devotees. Because although he came to Orissa, he immediately thought this is Jagannath's land. He offered obeisances, and all devotees offered obeisances there. So, Lord Vishnu is called as Chakri. Chakri means one who is the holder of chakra, disc. If you see Jagannath Puri, there is a chakra at the top. I was reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, when Vidura took sannyas and he was passing by, he would go to one place, take bath in Ganga, Yamuna or some holy waters, and he would come out of the water. He would never want to wipe it with a towel, because he would think that let this holy water touch my body constantly, and his hair would be wet, his body would be wet, clothes would be wet completely. And singing Krishna's various names, he would be walking a little distance, and then he would see the chakra on the top of the temple. He would consider as if Vishnu is holding it, when he would see that. Because the chakra gives assurance to devotees that they are always protected by Krishna. So he would immediately fall on the ground and roll on the ground, offering obeisances, not even minding the dirt touching his wet clothes. And as he would get up and walk a little distance, another holy river bed would come, or a pond would come. Again he would go to the pond and take a dip. In this way his clothes never got dry. They were always wet, it is said. In this way, a devotee who sees the chakra should remember all Lord's pastimes and Lord's activities. And that is why the Gopurams were carrying the chakra. Even though one may sometimes not be able to approach the temple, because it may be very far away when you are going in a train or anywhere. But by seeing the chakra, it is as good as seeing the deity in the temple. One can offer obeisances, remembering the wonderful pastimes of the wielder of the disc, Krishna, like that he says. Similarly, Mahaprabhu is here alleviating the fears of his devotees who are fearing the tigers and fearing the crocodiles, fearing the dacoits in the jungle, or fearing the enemies, or fearing the soldiers who may kill them. In this is a world of dangers everywhere, at all times. If you are too much fearful, you will not be able to perform devotional service. Like at one time, one of our devotees in Pune, I remember, he got a phobia of Christians' conversion. Christians are converting in mass scale. They have made some plan, 20 lakh Indians every year. So in 5 years they are converting 1 crore people. And this devotee was calculating, we totally have 120 crores in India. So if 1 crore in 5 years, then how many crores in 10 years? 10 years in 2 crores, in 1 century, it's like 20 crores or something like that, you know. And that means in 6 centuries whole India will be Christians, you know. So they are calculating all that. They are becoming extremely fearful what will happen to our this thing. Similarly, another devotee, I remember, somehow he came to know about this jihad, you know. Actually, the Quran says jihad is actually a holy war which should be done when there is a threat for practicing one's own religion. If Muslims are not allowed to practice their religion, you know, Muhammad tells them that you come together and stay together helping each other to practice religion. And if people stop you from practicing, then whoever stops you, you can defend yourself by killing them. That is actually jihad. But nowadays people are misapplying in some places and they want to kill the Hindus or cut off their heads or whatever. So sometimes when such religious riots happen, devotees get frightened. We are Hindus, we are wearing tilak, we are wearing kantimala. You know, is it all right to show our face in the road? You know, we're beaten up by people or somebody may kill us. But we are living in a world where anything is possible in this world. Any kind of danger can happen. But if one is going to become too much fearful of these things, you can't even practice peacefully. You can imagine, 500 years ago, Muslims are ruling. They have built Madan Mohan temple in Vrindavan. They have built the temple of Govindadev. All these temples are built, big temples. And also sometimes a Muslim would allow the Hindus to peacefully practice, because if they would too much torture them, then they would become rebellious and they may overthrow the government. So as long as they got the money, tax, gold, silver, women to marry, everything they got, then they may let them go on with their religion, because they couldn't completely transform the country into Muslims. They couldn't do, although they did with some. But the fear producing elements are there in this world. You can't eradicate them. We only have to develop a very strong faith in the assurance of the Lord and His protection. Even if our body is lost, our bhakti will never be lost. And Lord's chakra is there everywhere in all the gopurams. So here the Lord is telling the Sudarshan chakra is there with the devotees wherever they are traveling. Just like Ambarish was protected by chakra when his life was under threat by Durvasamani. So Lord is assuring the devotees and telling them to chant with confidence.